Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet. And I'm David Todd from ESPN Pittsburgh. Dave, it's Titans week. Here we are, short week. It's Wednesday. Steelers are 2-2. They're on a plane on their way to Tennessee as we speak right now. A couple things have happened. We didn't have a chance on Monday. We recorded early, so we hadn't heard the Mike Tomlin press conference. So we got a lot from here to there, but a little breaking news that maybe shake up the fantasy world. Ben's swing pass to Rashard Mendenhall that was ruled a run play, Mendenhall credit for a rushing touchdown, has been changed by Elias. And Ben gets credit for a 13-yard touchdown pass, 13 more pass yards, obviously, another touchdown in the books for him. Rashard obviously still has a touchdown in the books, but it'll go down as a receiving touchdown, not a rushing touchdown. Did it screw up any of your fantasy games?
Not any of mine. After this had happened, I had posted a breakdown with three pictures of the ball coming out of his hand, ball in flight, and Mendenhall catching the pass along with an animated GIF. I knew it would be close. I think in my post I said, boy, I'm not sure they're going to overturn this, though, because based on the video and angle and all and optical illusions and all that kind of good stuff, I wasn't so sure. But evidently Elias Sports Bureau saw enough to make the change, and that's what happened today. And you're right, this is going to change some outcomes of some fantasy games, because when you're talking about most fantasy games, most leagues that I play in, a touchdown pass is credited for 4 points there in point per reception leagues. Mendenhall will get another point there. And the additional yardage for Roethlisberger. There's going to be some unhappy losses snatched from the jaws of victory.
Exactly. Defeat snatched from the jaws of victory, right?
Exactly. I knew it'd be close. And, Ben gets now he has 9 passing touchdowns as opposed to 8 and 13 more passing yards, which puts him, I think, 287, if I have my shoes off correctly here, away from the Terry Bradshaw record. And, of course, Mendenhall, he only gets 13 less rushing yards, but gets an additional 13 yards receiving, as you noted there.
Yep. Let's get into the press conference a little bit. The injury report is as we think it is, and we're talking right now, Wednesday, about 4 o'clock Eastern time. Troy and Woodley are out for this game. They're ruled out. It looks like the Steelers are going to be relatively healthy, I guess, otherwise. The question mark in terms of the roster, they have a roster exemption for Wesley Saunders, and they can activate him at any time, but I guess you and I have come to the conclusion that they have to do it by Friday at 4, and they probably are not going to do it for this game. I think you and I both think they'll wait until after the game, make sure everybody's healthy, see where they are, and then decide which way they want to go in either releasing David Paulson and then trying to resign with the practice squad or cutting Leonard Pope.
Yeah, and I posted about this first thing this morning because I found the comments made by Todd Haley pretty interesting in his talk with the media yesterday. Haley said he's been out of the mix here for a little while. We've had some guys who are here and working and are finding their roles, so to speak. This is a little tougher week to do it. We're not in pads, but he's going to have to come in, get in the mix, start competing. And like everybody else across the board, the guys that give us the best chance to win and win each and every week, those will be the guys helping us. He's just trying to get back in the flow right now. That pretty much tells you what you need to know if you ask me, because let's face it, Wesley's been away from the team since the end of the preseason there. Coming back on this short week, although he was allowed back in the building on Monday, this quick turnaround, trying to implement the game plan, one day in pads, and the use of Paulson, I think, that we saw in the game against the Eagles, this doesn't look very good for Saunders suiting up. But of course, this could change. They do have the roster exemption until 4 o'clock on Friday. But being as how they have requested that and were granted that, it really makes you think that they're going to stay status quo here on the game Thursday and make their move after the game on Friday sometimes. And I think Leonard Pope is going to be the guy out here. I don't think how you could think otherwise, being as how the snap count that Paulson got in that game against the Eagles.
Correct. I'm with you on all of that. So the other thing that came out of the press conference was he got asked a question about Ryan Mundy, and there's no other way to say it than Ryan Mundy hasn't played very well, and Mike Tomlin brought up Will Allen's name and said there probably will be a rotation. So I think we can expect to see Will Allen get some time at safety. And I think if the Steelers want to talk about the issue they have right now, is this is a real issue, depth at safety, because they don't have it. And, on my doctor's cap, I've said Troy's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. He's not going to play this week or next week. Well, Woodley, maybe he goes next week. That's a big if. But, if they're 30-year-old Will Allen, who's been with the Steelers for 3 years, he's gotten very few snaps at the safety position. It shows the Steelers are a little bit desperate here. And the guy behind them is Robert Golden. And as good as we both think he looked in the preseason, he hasn't played at all in a regular game. And in fact, he didn't even dress that last week. And then after him, it's Damon Cromartie Smith. So, this is something to keep an eye on, and how the playing time goes. And it's a position of weakness for the Steelers for sure right now.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm with you. I think Troy's out this week. Well, he's going to be out this week for sure on the injury report. He's ruled out next week against Cincinnati. I just don't see it the way he was hopping off of that field. You have to think this is a 3 to 4, if not 5 week injury. And Monday, hey, three of the touchdown passes that the Steelers defense allowed of the 8, I believe, in total, have been on Monday here. And, quarterbacks are completing 75%. I believe he's been targeted 12 times in total here heading into this week, have been completed against him. He's got the two hits, that might end up costing him. We know one of the Hayward Smith cost him some money out of his pocket, although that one wasn't flagged. The one against Jeremy Maclin on Sunday was. We'll see if he gets fined for that. But he really hasn't played good football. And if you go back to the key third down conversion that the Raiders had in their drive, where the tight end, where Lawrence Timmons had inside coverage, good coverage on the play, and Paul Palmer put the ball right where only his guy could catch it. You have to wonder, when you go back and look at that play, if Mundy is anticipating that maybe a hair or two quicker on that and can get a helmet in low in the midsection on the tight end on that play, maybe he jars that ball loose, and maybe we're talking about the Steelers with another win here. So he hasn't played well. Will Allen just has not had the snaps. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's gotten garbage time and a snap here and there when somebody has left a game for a snap or two, mostly regarded as a free safety, I think, in my eyes over the years. I'm interested to see how this rotation goes.
Okay, Dave, a little interruption in the studio here. My man Digby, as I'm in the 970 ESPN studio. Sorry about that.
Oh, and yeah, you've been a busy guy lately, too. You had Tunch and Wolf spot, I believe, this morning. Your own spot.
They got a plane. I'll be at Chupka's 2 tonight on 970 from 7 to 9. So, yeah, busy day today. Busy day.
And I believe you mixed in some a few cocktails in there, too, last night. So,
a couple cocktails along the way. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, boys got to live.
The excitement for my day is I have my teeth cleaned today. So
good stuff, man. Good. You and the dog, or just you?
Just me. let's get in a little bit into, I guess, what else is happening with us here?
We're at the press conference. We got that out of the way. We got Ben stuff. The press conference, then, Tennessee. Just Tennessee's a bad team, but we're going to have David Beauclair of the Nashville City Paper join us in the second half of the show here to preview the Titans. But, Dave, they're a bad team. And one of the things that we can talk about here is the Steelers have been a sloppy team. We think they're a good team, but they have not had a dominating win in a long time. And the Jets wasn't a dominating win. And the other games, we know what's happened. They went down to the last possession. And they haven't been good on the road. And, you know, I thought we were going to learn a lot of things about the Steelers in this Eagle game. And, I saw a lot of good things. I saw more good things than I've seen in any other game. But you see a bunch of things that bother you, including the penalties, the receiver drops, the defense giving up drives in the second half, which now is to the point where it's now been three games where they haven't been able to get off the field in the second half basically at all. So that's a problem. So there, you know, still a lot of question marks, and they're playing a bad team that's given up more than 30 points in every game they've played this year. It'd be nice to see them put together a full game.
Boy, they need to blow somebody out, you know, just flat out. And you know, if you look at this game on paper, it's almost like the one that you looked at a few weeks ago against the Raiders. The Raiders even had it a little bit worse, you know, because they're banged up secondary and all. But hey, you nailed it. I mean, Tennessee is a bad team. I mean, offensively, defensively, not good. I've got some stats around here. I'll go over here in a little bit here. But this is a team that's given up over 4 yards of carry on the ground. Let's see what else through the air here. They're not good. And you know, the Steelers have had good success over the years at taking away Chris Johnson. If you throw out, he had an 80-yard touchdown called back on a penalty. And outside of that, I mean, he has just been dismal against the Steelers. And here I'm looking at their defensive stats. They're ranked 29th in the league, allowing yards per game, yards per play 25th in the league, rushing yards per game 144.2, which ranks them 28th, 4.19 yards per carry, which ranks them 18th in the league. And that's the defensive side of the ball. Passing yards per play 7.72, which ranks them 27th in the league. When you flip over to the offensive side of the ball for them, yards per game 26th in the league, yards per play 25th in the league, rushing yards a game 30th in the league, yards per play rushing 27th. This is not a good football team. They're going to be without Jake Locker this week. Matt Hasselbeck's going to start for the second week in a row. Their backup running back, Javon Ringer, not a big deal, but he's going to be out of this game as well, too. Their middle linebacker, although he's not been active in tackles, is going to play but is on a tender ankle. This is a team that got blown out by Minnesota Vikings last week, and not to take anything away from the Vikings and Christian Ponder, who I think Christian Ponder is really having a good turnaround year here. They did not look good in the game, and like you said, if there ever was a game that the Steelers should blow a team out, even though it is on the road, this would be it.
Yeah, no question, Dave. In terms of the Steelers' approach to this game, you know, we'll give our quick breakdown of what we're looking for. Everything should be
exactly
available. You don't know where to start. Everything should be available to them, and they should be able to, you know, the one thing when I look at the Titans, we look at their skilled position guys, and you talk about Kenny Britt, who's back and relatively healthy. He's got a little bit of an ankle problem. You've got Kendall Wright. You've got Nate Washington. So they got good receivers. They got a good tight end. Chris Johnson is a home run hitting tight back who can go the distance. He had a long run against the Steelers called back, I think, last time they played. So you do think that maybe they can put up some points, but defensively they just don't scare you. You know, they're not good up front. Their safeties aren't good. The Steelers should be able to take advantage, and they should be able to mix it up and both run and pass the ball.
And Mike Tomlin, you know, every week when he walks through the opposition, even he didn't make them too convincing that they were going to win the Super Bowl, and Tomlin's usually good about that. Now, he did mention their tight end, Cook, you know, who the Steelers have had some problems with some tight ends this year. Cook is second on the team, on the Titans team, in receptions with 19 for 237 yards, has two TDs. Wright, the young receiver, he leads the team with 27 receptions and two TDs. You know, he's somebody to keep an eye on. Nate Washington, our old buddy, you know, former Steeler, he is a guy that can get loose a few times. Kenny Britt really is still trying to come off. I believe he had an ankle injury that had slowed him. He's going to dress and play from all I've read in this game. So, you know, Hasselbeck, if you get pressure on Hasselbeck. That's the key to this game. Shutting Chris Johnson out, making him run east and west as opposed to north and south. And this is something the Steelers have been able to do against this kid in the last four meetings with him. And he's very, very frustrated. He had some, kind of not necessarily pointing the fingers remarks, but said, hey, they're not a good team on offense. And I thought it was curious that he says, hey, I've been making plays. No, he hasn't. I think his longest run from scrimmage is 19 yards. I think his longest reception from scrimmage so far is, let's see here, looking at this real quick, I think it's 16 yards, his longest reception. If you put the gas pedal down on these guys real quick and the Steelers are able to jump out to a 14-0, 17-0 lead, something we haven't seen this team be able to do in a long time, there's a good chance that the Titans just, pack up the tent and go through the motions at that point.
Yeah, let's hope that's the case. Dave, I don't know how much there is for us to get to in terms of what else is going on. We've talked about Will Allen. How about Jason Worlds playing that left side? He's going to get a lot more playing time. We'll be interested to see if those guys, again, watching the defensive rotation, we'll watch at the safety position as we talked about. Jason Worlds on the left side, James Harrison on the right side. We'll see if Chris Carter gets snaps. Didn't basically see the field in the last game. And we saw a defensive rotation early in the game. And now that you've got the participation chart up on the defense, you can see that basically how the defensive line went is the guys got, it's not going to work out exactly, but four snaps in the first half and four snaps in the second half, early in the game, then later in the first half, then early in the second half and later in the second half, but still not really getting a whole series.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I mean, Steve McLennan, I thought he had some good snaps in the game there. Didn't really take a real close look at Cameron Hayward, but I thought the defensive line as a whole played well. I thought Ziggy played well. I thought Hampton played well. I thought the linebackers played well, and that includes Jason Worlds, and he got some kudos from Dick LeBeau this past week on Tuesday. LeBeau thought he played well, and look, I think Jason Worlds is much more comfortable on that left side as opposed to the right. That's where he's seen for most of his playing time. When Harrison went out with the fractured orbital bone last year in the game against the Texans, Worlds mopped up there, and then of course Worlds couldn't stay on the field. We saw Timmons have to get used outside at right outside linebacker. But I think Worlds is the type of kid that I think, his snaps predominantly being on that left side is where he's the most comfortable about knowing how to drop. He didn't look too good this season in the snaps that he's received at right outside linebacker, especially in dropping and being in the right position on the field. And this all plays into, hey, look, this kid didn't get any snaps during the OTA, didn't play in the preseason. He's just wasn't getting the snaps. So I'm excited for him in this game against the Titans. I think this could be a setting up for him to be having a signature type game where people come out of this game hopefully saying, that's the Jason Worlds that we drafted right there. The only unfortunate thing is he does play left outside linebacker, and when Lamar Woodley comes back, that of course is his spot there. So it kind of, if that indeed takes place, David, we don't know what we have in Adrian Robinson, of course, way too early to speculate there. But the Steelers are going to be probably looking for a right outside linebacker early in the draft next year.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for linebackers. They're going to be looking for safeties. If the draft were held tomorrow, I don't even know when you go offense. You're going to go defense again. You feel somewhat good about your corners, but your safeties and your linebackers, you're going to be inside and outside. You're going to be making picks there. Stevenson Sylvester was a guy who got back on the field last week as well, and we haven't really talked about him. I think on the opening kickoff, he was a guy down there who basically, I don't think he made the tackle, but kind of changed the play.
Yeah, if memory serves me right, too, I think he was flagged on one for a hold on one punt where they had to repunt as well, too. But look, this guy, barring anything else happening injury-wise with his linebacking crew, he's not going to see any snaps. Now, the good thing about this week is with Woodley down, of course, Worlds is going to start outside there. Sylvester took quite a few snaps at left outside linebacker during the preseason before he went down with his knee injury. The only, I guess, real question mark as far as the depth goes, is do you dress Brandon Johnson, who's more of a special teams player, over Adrian Robinson? And that would be my guess, for this game. That's the only one of the changes that we should see with the inactive list this week, outside of Robert Golden being active and Troy Polamalu being back on the inactive list. But, I think Stevenson Sylvester is a guy that gives you good snaps on special teams. Maybe he helps alleviate some of the load. I don't know if he's been playing all four of the primary special teams. I think he has, and I think that's a lot why we're going to see some rotation between Mundy and Allen at the safety position as well, too, because those guys play on all four of the key special teams units here too, and Will Allen commented on that too, that that takes a lot out of those guys as well too, so perhaps that's some reasoning there as to why Allen might see the field a little bit this week on defense.
Yeah, and then Dave, just to wrap things up on our end before we get to the interview, let's talk about the offensive line play, because the holding penalties against Willie Colon stand out, but so does the fact that the team was able to, I was going to say 100 rush for 136 yards, but that's going to now be 123 yards. But they ran the ball reasonably well, and I think you got to credit both sides. I mean, I think Mendenhall did a good job of seeing the hole and hitting the hole, some good vision there, and the Redmen had a couple of nice runs as well. Baron Batch, no snaps, no third down back, wasn't used. He's going to be a little bit of an odd guy out, and certainly Jonathan Dwyer is going to be the odd guy out since he didn't get a helmet, and that isn't expected to change unless there's an injury. But what did you think of the offensive line play?
I thought it was good, and unfortunately that's going to be delayed going up. I had everything all charted out in an Excel file last night. And, the one time that you don't save something is when the computer decides it wants to reboot on you, and I wasn't able to save it. So I've got to go through and rescore and tabulate all that up again. So my apologies to my faithful readers who are expecting that offensive line report. But I've got a lot of it committed to memory anyway after watching this thing seven times. I thought outside of the four holding calls on Cologne, which unfortunately you can't take those out, I thought Cologne had a good game. I thought Pouncey had a good game. Max Starks, phenomenal job in this game. Ramon Foster, a phenomenal job in this game. Gilbert was able to get downfield on some screens. I think on one of them he slipped there going out there. But we saw a lot of good stuff happen at the second level against the Eagles. So that's encouraging as well, too. When I post these offensive line reports and when you grade these things, it's quite noticeable how the shorter passing game really takes a lot of pressure off of the offensive line. When I grade these things, it's usually a pass, or it is a pass or a fail on these guys going play by play with each guy. When you run a quick three-step drop and have the ball out, how can you not? You've got to give the offensive line a positive in that area, and I think that's where we're seeing a lot of the good stuff this line in the offensive line so far this year. The blocking was considerably better. There were some good holes. I thought Mendenhall showed some good vision on, I think, two or three plays that I noted particularly. And, hey, Antonio Brown had somewhat of a rough game. Not up to Antonio Brown's standards, I should say, in the game against the Eagles here. But I broke down the play on the final drive there when Mendenhall went off right tackle for 8 yards. There, great blocking by Marcus Gilbert, by Heath Miller, and Antonio Brown's the guy that gave him the edge there when he cracked down inside there on safety Nate Allen. So it's a team effort there. Sometimes someone will say, well, I didn't think the blocking was that good by the offensive line. Well, you know, keep in mind, you've got tight ends in the game here, too. And as good a tight end as Heath Miller is, which, by the way, he flattened Nnamdi Asamoah on one of those screen plays out there down the field. I wasn't sure Nnamdi was going to get up on that play. But, look, these tight ends make mistakes as well, too, and they're an integral part in the running game. But overall, I thought, I guess to give you a long answer to a short question there, I thought the offensive line played very, very well in this game.
Good stuff as always, Dave. And we'll look for that on SteelersDepot.com. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk to David Beauclair of the Nashville City Paper and get his take on things. And we'll go from there. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. We're pleased to be joined by David Beauclair of the Nashville City Paper. You can follow Dave on Twitter this week. Get all your Tennessee updates at Beauclair Sports. That's B-O-C-L-A-I-R. Dave, first time on the Terrible Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, boys. How's everybody today?
We're great. Doing fine. The Steelers are flying to Nashville right now. Take on the Titans this weekend. It's been a rough start for Tennessee. If you were going to sum it up in a couple sentences, what's gone wrong? Is it everything's gone wrong?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just been an incredibly ordinary performance all, you know, at best, I would say, ordinary at best performance all around. Obviously, the things that have gone most wrong are the run game and Chris Johnson and the pass defense. I mean, all five teams they've played to this point have completed more than 70% of the passes against them, and their combined completion percentage is like 74.3 coming into this game. The defense can't stop third and longs nearly as much as they need to. They're giving up points. They're not scoring points on offense. You name it, and it's not that any one player or one thing has been overwhelmingly bad. It's just the best play they've gotten has been good, and from there it's down to some terrible things from time to time.
Let's start at the quarterback position. I was going to throw in the fact that Chris Johnson said the other day, I saw one of the beat writers tweeted that, I don't think we're close. And, man, that's got to be a tough thing. That's tough for the fans to hear. I'm sure it's tough for the coaching staff to hear. And the teammates probably don't much like it either.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was, you know, Chris Johnson has been a guy who sort of talks like a guy who's in denial a little bit, or has most of this year, and it was interesting. That was actually a question I asked after having talked to several other people, you know, and hearing the company line that a couple of plays here and there at just the right time, and the whole fabric of a couple of these games could have changed. And so, you know, I asked him if he was sort of in agreement with that, and he said no. He said, you look at what we've done, you look at the scores, you look at the way we've played. He said, I have a hard time saying that we're a good team. And he went on, you know, to say, we can get there, but every aspect of the game has to be better, and I think he's probably right about that.
You know, in some of the quotes, I read his quotes to the question there. He said he's been, I think he pretty much had a finger pointed at everybody except himself, saying that he's made some plays. But when you look at his yards per carry and you go and look at the film and all like that, this really doesn't look like the same Chris Johnson, and it hasn't for a little while. Is it the blocking? You know, is it any particular position on the offensive line? Or has it just been the entire thing encompassed together that's caused a problem with them not being able to run the football?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, and some people, that quote you referenced there, some people have taken sort of a part of that and ran with it. He was saying, you know, back in 2009, this team started 0-6, capped by a 59-0 loss at New England, and they looked like a terrible, terrible team. And he said, you know, sort of what happened that year that turned them around, because they won 8 of their last 10 then, was that, you know, they went back to Vince Young at quarterback, and he said he felt like Vince sort of gave them a spark and gave them a jolt that sort of got them going. He said, somebody has to give us that same sort of spark. I feel like I've tried and I've had a few moments, but it hasn't happened that way. So, you know, as to what's gone wrong, he certainly doesn't have holes to run through every single time, but you can find examples in reviewing the games where he did have holes and didn't hit them. And the thing that was sort of most striking to me Sunday at Minnesota, where it was, you know, it was Chris Johnson against Adrian Peterson, which 2 years ago, you know, the whole NFL would have been focused on that game to see, you know, both of them had gotten the big contracts and both had huge rushing numbers in recent years, and you would have thought that was a marquee matchup. But the one thing you really noticed was Adrian Peterson took the ball going forward at full speed and hit the line of scrimmage, you know, as quickly and as hard as he could. And you see time and time again just this hesitation with Chris Johnson where he takes the ball and almost comes to a standstill and decides what he wants to do. And clearly it's not working for him. And it doesn't help that the coaches aren't giving him very many carries a game. They keep saying, well, the score gets out of hand, we have to throw the ball. But with this current coaching staff, if you go back and look over the last, 21 games now, there's almost a clear-cut divide. He either gets 15 carries and fewer, or he gets 25 carries or more. And all but one of the times that he's gotten 25 carries or more, he has gotten to 100 yards. And you know, but this coaching staff just doesn't sort of feed him often enough, I guess, and stick with him for whatever reason.
You know, you've been covering the Titans for some time now. Why have the Steelers always seemed to have some success, particularly against Johnson? I think he has 61 career carries for 211 yards and two touchdowns, which breaks down to just a 3.46 yards per carry average in his four games. What are they doing so right to stop Chris?
Yeah, it starts with the fact that they're a 3-4 front. The Titans in recent years under Jeff Fisher, even and it's continued under Mike Munchak, they much more so have had troubles running against 3-4s than they have running against 4-3s. I think that's a part of it, and I think factoring into that is when you have four linebackers who can get, you know, cover the width of the field, I guess, a little better, you know, because Johnson does like to get outside and then go upfield. I don't think the Steelers are caught out of position probably as much as some other defenses would be, which only have two or three linebackers on the field to defend him.
Dave, the quarterback position, we know Jake Locker's not going to go, but do you feel like Jake Locker's making progress and is going to be the guy that they hope he was or is when they drafted him eighth last year?
You know, it's a really good question. I don't think you can say that Jake Locker's the reason they're 0-5, but 1-4, He certainly hasn't done anything to elevate the team's performance either. And I looked at it early in the season. His stats in drives immediately after the opponents put points on the board were pretty bad. You know, those are moments where you sort of need to answer and kind of get things going, and he hasn't been able to do that. The questions about accuracy that were sort of hung on him when he was in the draft, I don't think he's answered those completely. He has moments where he looks very good, and then he has throws that he sails way too high, or he puts his receivers in a tough position. I think everybody's still optimistic that he's going to put it together, but it's not, you know, I'm personally not sold yet that he's going to be anything other than just an okay quarterback in this league. I think it's one of those things could go either way. Now, he can run. He can get out of the pocket and go, and he's about as fast as any quarterback I've seen this side of Michael Vick, and they've actually put in, you know, some actual designed runs for him to try and help the running game that way when he's been in there. But again, he just hasn't done anything spectacular this year, and I think that's part of the problem.
When I look at the offense, I do look at the skilled guys and Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright, the first round pick. Nate Washington, the former Steeler, Craig Stevens, and of course, Chris Johnson. You feel like they have some pieces there, but I look at the offensive line and go, wow, there are not a lot of names you recognize other than Steve Hutchinson, who's a little bit long in the tooth these days. Has the offensive line been a big problem?
You know, yes and no. They're really pretty good in pass protection. Last week against Houston was sort of the exception to the rule. They were, the Titans were 31st in rushing offense last year, but were among the leaders in the fewest sacks allowed, and that was with Matt Hasselbeck playing the whole season. And certainly, you know, Hasselbeck doesn't scare anybody with his ability to escape the pass rush. So I guess you can say it's a unit that is kind of soft. They don't, you know, they don't have that ability to just pound on people all game long and sort of beat them into submission with the run game. You know, left tackle Michael Roos, for example, was as good a tackle as there was in the game in 2008. I mean, he had a spectacular season, and since then just hasn't been quite as good. And no one can seem to say whether that's because the right guard or the left guard has changed a couple times, and he's playing with somebody different there, and the combination hasn't worked as well. But they're just, I keep using the word, I'd say they're a fairly ordinary unit right now.
The tight end Cook is got off to a pretty good start here. One of the highlights, I think, for the Titans on offense so far. And looking at some of film breakdown that I've done, I see them on first down run quite a bit of two tight end sets. Can you talk about what they've been doing personnel wise on offense? With Britt back healthier, we're going to see a lot more three wide receiver sets possibly in this game on Thursday night.
Yeah, the idea coming into this season was to be a pass to set up the run team, and Kenny Britt and Jared Cook were the two guys who were sort of the biggest part of that, because Britt is a big, fast wide receiver who, when he's been healthy, can really make some big plays and create some problems for defenses. And Cook is that sort of, you know, Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates type tight end. He's big and fast and has unbelievable hands. Those are the two guys they have wanted to showcase in their passing game. Britt, of course, had the suspension that he sat out the first game, was coming off reconstructive knee surgery, now has had an ankle injury, so he's never really gotten going. Cook has had moments in the last couple years, and he talked about needing to be consistent on a 16-game basis, and he's been much closer to that early in the year than he has been previously in his career. So he's a guy, though, I think he'll get better opportunities and bigger plays when and if Kenny Britt is healthy and producing. You know, then when teams have to deal with him, and it'll become a little harder to account for Cook too. So that's, you know, I think they'll sort of go hand in hand. They just haven't really had the opportunities to do it yet this season.
Yeah, I think when I was talking about Stevens, I meant to say Cook, and yeah, a guy that they'd like to turn on. Will we see them come out and use the fullback much, or will they come out in a double tight end set, or what kind of formations will they generally go with?
Yeah, a lot of tight ends, and Craig Stevens is one guy who is worth mentioning. He is one of the better blocking tight ends you'll see, who has shown when he's been called upon that he can make some plays in the passing game as well. And you'll see much more two tight end looks than you will the fullback. The fullback basically gets, I'd say, regularly 6 to 12 snaps a game. Now the one thing I noticed that they did last week quite often against Minnesota is they sort of went with they're sort of borrowing the 49ers look in the run game, where they have the two tight ends or the tight end and a fullback both in the backfield, almost in a wishbone looking formation, but a little wider than what a wishbone would be, and you know, one or both of those guys leading up on the inside. So I'm curious to see if that's something we see the rest of the season, or if that was just something they thought might work against Minnesota, and they did it then.
When you flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and we're talking to David Beauclair from the Nashville City Paper, follow him on Twitter at Beauclair Sports, you know, for all the info on your Titans stuff. When you look at the Titans defense, Akeem Ayers is a guy that really sticks out for the Titans so far this year. Their outside linebacker, I think he leads the team in tackles, or he's right up in there. The front four has just been, judging from what I've seen, they've been pushed around quite a bit. Talk about the play of Ayers so far this season, and Colin McCarthy. I guess he's going to go this week on that tender ankle on his.
Well, yeah, they would hope Colin McCarthy goes, but I don't know. He hasn't practiced at all this week. Didn't practice again today, he's the guy who sort of made their defense go in the preseason, and we all know the preseason is the preseason, but the one thing you could say unequivocally is Colin McCarthy, second year guy at middle linebacker, plays the game very fast, was very aware of where he needed to be, had three interceptions in the preseason, caused a fumble, made a bunch of tackles. I mean, looked like a guy who was really ready for a breakout year, and then sustained a high ankle sprain late in the first half of the opener against New England. Didn't play again until last Sunday, and talking to him yesterday, you know, all he could say was the ankle still feels funny. It's very frustrating. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Akeem Ayers, you talked about, their second-round pick a year ago, and he's a guy they have really, really big plans for, who hadn't quite lived up to all the hype yet. I mean, he's one of these guys who they see as sort of a hybrid. They want to work in some 3-4 looks, particularly on third down, where he's a guy who can rush off the edge. And the Detroit game, he actually, for the first time, I mean, showed a real big-time pass rush where he just flat-out beat the right tackle, got to the quarterback, got the first sack of his career. I mean, it wasn't a coverage sack. It wasn't anything like that. It was, you know, he beat the man in front of him, got to the quarterback, got the quarterback to the ground. And that's, the Titans would like to do more of that sort of thing with him as they go along. But he's big for an outside linebacker, but can run and is probably haven't been quite as productive as they wanted, but is a guy who keeps getting better, and they think at some point he can be a Pro Bowl type guy.
Mike Tomlin, when he opened his conversation about the Titans, talked about their DNs, Derek Morgan and Cameron Wimbley. You just assume when a defense is ranked where the Titans are that nobody's playing particularly well. The other guy he mentioned was Mike Martin, the kid out of Michigan. The Steelers liked him pre-draft. There was some talk that maybe they'd try to get him in the third round. He ended up going to Tennessee. But from what I've been able to see, it looks like Colin McCarthy, who's been out with some injuries and came back in that Minnesota game, he's kind of the guy who's making it happen on the defense?
Yeah, the best player on their defense actually is defensive tackle Jarrell Casey, who – like McCarthy and Ayers was drafted last season, and he's a big, big body, but he's much more athletic than he looks, and is a guy they sort of anticipated being a run stopper, but he ends up playing in a lot of passing downs as well, because he's just they'll actually. He'll be the guy who'll drop into coverage on some zone blitzes. And, he's having a really good season. Everybody else, not so much. I mean, Derek Morgan, their first-round pick 3 years ago, has stayed healthy, which is an achievement for him, and actually has more tackles than any of the other defensive linemen. So that's good. But, you know, he needs to get to the quarterback and hasn't shown the ability to do that yet. And Cameron Wimbley was signed as a free agent specifically to get to the quarterback and has one sack so far. So, those guys are not playing as well as they need to in general. And, you know, the other guy on the defensive front is another second-year guy, defensive tackle Carl Klug, who led the team last year with seven sacks. hasn't shown up. I mean, he was a guy who was a huge surprise in a good way last season, and just you know, sophomore slump or you know, one time lucky. I don't know, but he is certainly not living up to the expectations he's created for himself. And that being said, Jerry Gray, the defensive coordinator, is a guy who likes to play a lot of cover two, doesn't want to take chances with blitzing and where you can give up big plays and whatnot. So he wants to get pass rush pressure from his front four, and he's just not getting it.
Much like the Eagles, who the Steelers played last week, the Titans like to rotate in some of those guys on the front there, and you've gone through quite a few of them for us. One thing that sticks out to me, how many years removed are they from playing that wide nine? And it kind of appears that maybe the personnel kind of hasn't caught up with the scheme yet. Would that be your take on this?
Yeah, they're moving very quickly in terms of getting the personnel to the scheme. This is their second year since Jim Washburn, the defensive line coach, went to Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, to teach the wide nine technique there, and they've got you look at their starters are Derek Morgan, who's in his third year, Jarrell Casey, who's in his second year. In fact, most of their tackles, it's Casey and Kluger in their second year. They've got a rookie, Dajon Harris, and they've got a fourth-year guy in Sanderic Mark. So, you know, the thing they wanted to do was get bigger. They need to address the defensive end position now in terms of the size issues they want. They brought in a couple of free agents this offseason sort of to serve as a stopgap, I guess, until they can address that position in the draft, but Lige Duzable started the season on injured reserve. Keonta Dawson just went on injured reserve. Dave Ball, another veteran defensive end, started on injured reserve, and coaches have finally started to talk about that Derek Morgan and Cameron Wimbley are on the field more than they want them on the field. They'd like to get these guys off some in the run situations and keep them fresher to rush the quarterback, and they haven't been able to do that. So I think they have the personnel to a certain degree that they want in there now. And you mentioned Mike Martin, another defensive tackle who's playing a lot in the run situations as a rookie. So that, you know, they've got a lot of young guys in the middle of that line. They've got the two ends that they like. They have to get the more depth at the end to get the rotation now that they want and keep refining their new approach up front.
Before
Dave,
we
that's great stuff. Just if we want to touch on the special teams, they've been good in the special teams. There's one area that they have excelled. Baronis is a proven kicker. Missed a couple kicks early in the year after having a streak of 20, I think. But I guess Brett Kern's been good. And, of course, Darius Raynaud is a guy that we saw play at West Virginia and always kind of lightning fast with the ball. He's been good in the return game, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been real good. Has a 105-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Was one of those guys that sort of lit it up almost every game in the preseason, and you kind of wondered, were they going to have a spot for him, even as good as he was? And then, he sort of caught a break when Mark Mariani, a Pro Bowl return man 2 years ago, broke his leg in I guess it was the last preseason game and is out for the year. And, you know, to Darius Raynaud's credit, he has seized upon that opportunity and been one of the league's better return men so far this season, and they like him. I mean, if you watch practice, they get him involved in the offense, and they're gonna pull out some trick plays during the course of the season that factor in him. Just like they had the punt return for a touchdown against Detroit, where he threw the ball across the field to Tommy Campbell. I mean, they think they can do some things with him in the offense too, and he's. You know, he is a guy who's sort of fun to watch, you know, as they figure out exactly what they have in him. But good on him for seizing the opportunity that was presented to him and making the most of it.
Did I see Jordan Babineau Tebow against Minnesota there? Can the Steelers expect maybe a snap or two like that?
Yeah, that was actually a fake punt where Brett Kern, the punter, lined up at left tackle or tight end, I guess it was, next to the left tackle, and the Vikings didn't really adjust to what was going on and didn't call timeout, so they they went ahead and snapped it to Babineau, and he turned it upfield and got a nice gain for a first down. That was early in that game when it was still a very close game. Chris Johnson fumbled on the next play, and Vikings went in and scored their first touchdown. So, you know, if you want to talk about how the Titans season has gone to this point, that's probably the perfect summation of it right there. A really good special teams play followed by a terrible offensive play in the running game and the defense not being able to make a stop, and there you go. You give up a touchdown, you're behind. That was pretty much it right there.
Good catch, Dave. I hadn't seen that. Dave, that's fantastic stuff. We appreciate your time. Anything you want to close with, Dave?
Go ahead, David.
I'm sorry.
We got three Daves.
it is a little confusing, but I am married to a Texan who grew up southeast of Houston, and if she knows that I'm, if she finds out I'm talking to some Steelers folks, it could be the end of me. So if I'm not at the game tomorrow night, I encourage people to come looking for me quickly, because harm could very much have befallen me. She will tell you to this day that Mike Renfro made that catch and that they would have won that AFC Championship game in '79 and so on and so forth. So this, you know, Franco Harris is the devil, and Jack Lambert is the devil, and Terry Bradshaw, you know, on and on it goes. So I'm going out on a limb for you boys here today.
Are you picking the Steelers in this game? Is it safe to assume that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you are what you are, and right now the Titans, you know, as Chris Johnson said, are not a very good team, and I have a hard time seeing them turning it around to the degree that they need to turn it around and win. I mean, you even look at the one game they won this year. They gave up 15 or 16 points in the last minute six of regulation and had to go to overtime to get that win. So, they just don't do things to win football games right now the way the Steelers typically do. So I don't see how the Titans win this game, honestly.
Dave, great stuff. Really appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to reading your stuff in the Nashville City Paper and following you on Twitter at Beauclair Sports. Appreciate you being with us.
I appreciate the time to talk to you guys, and have a good time. We'll see you then.
Hey, Dave, great stuff from Dave Beauclair, huh? I mean, we could have done about an hour and a half.
Oh, absolutely, and I apologize for walking on you there. He really was a great guest. I think our listeners are going to really enjoy his insight in there, and it helps, too. I haven't been able to watch too terribly much, a lot of film on the Titans on this short week as well, too, and he certainly filled in some gaps with some good info there as well. So, David, I guess we should quickly get to our predictions on the game. You want to lead us off?
I do. I'm going to put it right on the same score that we saw from the Titans last week in Minnesota. I think the Steelers, I'm just waiting for them to play a complete game. I'd like to think maybe they do it tomorrow night. And I'm going to go 30-7. The Steelers finally get it going and get it going on the road.
I'm close to that. I think they do get the big. I think the offense has a good day. I think the defense will allow, a late touchdown in this. I like the Steelers 31-17 on this, and I look for them to both run in. I think, as you said early in the show, I think, take your pick of what you want to do, running or pass on the football in this game. Let's hope both of us are correct on this.
Yeah, okay, great stuff. An extended show here with the great interview from Dave Beauclair, so we'll wrap it up. Appreciate all the donations. We've gotten some more, so we'll get some thank yous out to you, but this is a thank you over the air. Make sure you're following Dave on Twitter at Steelers Depot and seeing his site every day. You know that I'm on the air Monday through Friday on 970 ESPN, 2 to 4 p.m., and you can follow me on 970. You can follow me on Twitter at David M. Todd, and I have a blog page up on 970 ESPN and also a Facebook page, which Dave has as well. His is Steelers Depot. Mine is David Todd Show. If you like me there, I'd appreciate that. And that's going to wrap things up for today. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.